imagine. Now you know it's not too late. Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time we start closing that gate. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States. Let's get a grip on immigration. Now you know it's not too late. It's high time that we limit their numbers. It's high time that we close up that gate. Can't you see how we are rapidly becoming another third world fascist police state? Let's get a grip on immigration in these great United States. And quit trying to fan the flame that I'm a racist. And quit trying to fabricate that I hate. And get a grip on immigration in these great United States.
And good morning, folks, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. It is February 10th, 2024, and we welcome you folks out there, and we thank you for being here. Before we get started, we're going to go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we do come before you, and we ask for your blessing upon this program this morning. We pray that you lead us, guide us, and direct us in the direction that we are to go. We pray that you be with your people across this land. And Lord, we just continue to cry out to you to save us from the hands of our enemies, those that hate us, those that seek to destroy us, those that hate your name, that hate your everything that you stand for, that hate Christian values, that hate families. Father, we ask, Father, as they war against us, we pray that you war with them. We ask that you just continue to surround us with your angels, put a hedge of protection around your people, a shield of light, a ring of fire that no evil can penetrate in any way, shape, or form. And we ask, Father, that you deliver your people as this war is on so many fronts right now. We're fighting a spiritual warfare. We're fighting physical warfare. We're getting invaded. Lord, we're in need of your assistance, and we just ask for your help. In Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray, amen. And we've got a couple of people on the line. We've got Richard on the line. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And we've got Paul on the line. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And we've got Tim. He'll be here just shortly. He had his phone lines crashed, but he's working on getting those back on the line. And hopefully he'll be here shortly. Just a lot of interesting things that are going on. I don't know. I'll throw it out to you, men. Do you guys want to have anything that you wanted to start off with this morning? And I'll take that as a no. You know, there's all just a lot of stuff that's going on. And, you know, one of the things that it's becoming mainstream is, you know, the incompetency of this president, Joe Biden. I seen that made a lot of headlines this week. I mean, him talking to dead presidents that have been that supposedly he sat down and talked to, and they'd been dead for 30 years, and just, I mean, one thing after another that basically, I mean, just proved the incompetence of the president. And I mean, and people are asking, you know, this is the guy that's walking around with nuclear codes and is supposed to be running the country. And you know, what about anybody isn't some, when is the point when somebody's supposed to step in and say, hey, this guy is not competent?
Well, I'll tell you what, he's got handlers that are doing it. You know, they might be drugging him, who knows? But he's not the real cause. He's just the front man. And there's other people back there pulling the strings, and they want us to lose all faith in our government. And then, you know, somebody will step up as the great deliverer. And, you know, this is all theory on my part, so you can take it or leave it. But he's got handlers, and they want you to lose all confidence in this whole system. And and that's okay because we have to turn to God, and that's what's going to happen ultimately. But everybody wants to blame Joe Biden, but he's just the front man, and he is an idiot.
Yeah, and I think they
sold out a long time ago for money.
And they are, they're doing a very, I would say that they're very successful at getting people to lose all hope in their government.
Well, I lost faith in it years ago, personally, but it's really obvious.
It is. Well, we got Tim finally on the line. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. Had a little technical difficulty.
Well, that's all right. We have those every once in a while. anything you wanted to share with us this morning, Tim?
Not right off the bat here.
Okay.
But I'll get there. Give me a minute.
I did see a couple of reports there talking about invoking the 25th Amendment, which is if the president is, you know, mentally incapable of performing the duties of office. A former White House doctor. There's other Republicans that are looking, you know. Anyway, that's the talk. This report that came out from this special counsel you know, when it says we can't prosecute him because he's old and feeble and just doesn't remember, bless his heart, you know, that's not the leader of the United States that we need. And we understand he's just, like you said, Paul, the front man. But it's just being put right in front of our face, and those that maybe that don't believe, that think that he's just still the greatest thing ever. But he is ranting and raving and called the, what was it, he called one of the other, like the president of one of the European nations, the president of Mexico. You know, most of us have dealt with people with memory issues, with Alzheimer's, with that type of thing, firsthand. And he exhibits all of the characteristics. Not knowing what to go, where to go, what to do. He's 80 years old, 81 years old. It's just becoming that much more evident to other people what we've said and seen for years.
Yeah, well, and the doctors, I saw one report, it was interesting. Doctors call for Biden to take mental competency test after scattering classified documents reports and saying something is not right. And it says medical professionals have stepped up calls for President Biden to take a mental competency test after Thursday's blistering report from Special Counsel Robert Hur revealed the 81-year-old can't remember basic facts about his own life and career. The Hur report, released Thursday, assessed Biden as too senile to be prosecuted over his wrongful retention of classified documents and noted that the commander-in-chief did not remember when he was vice president and did not remember even within several years when his son Bo died over the 2 days of interviews in October. And it just goes on and on and on. But it's, I agree with Paul. Well, it's embarrassing. And they're making people lose faith in their government. And I think that that's probably what they're going to do. They're going to have somebody come in, whether it's Kamala Harris or one of these other, you know, left-wing liberals that are going to come in and save the world and save face with these Democrats and you know, them give them a new savior. There's a lot of people that are saying that the Bidens will be back in the picture, except for it will be a reverse role this time. So I don't know. It will be interesting.
Well, the federal government's become a god to people. You know, they get a check for this and that and stuff like that, and that's all the perversion of the Romans 13. There is, you know, they have nothing to give. That nothing. You know, I was reading in that book you gave me, Jason, too, with George Washington had the same problem. All the immorality and crime and everything else, and you know how he fixed it. He went back to a gold and silver dollar, and then, and that put some stability back on the whole country. And this is what we have now. We have a money just being, you know, they tell us we got a $1 trillion debt. They don't matter. They can just print more. It don't matter how much debt we have. It's just a matter of controlling us and make us fearful. But we need to go back to substance. See, and barter is substance. Substance for substance. And I think my mom and dad went through the Depression, and I think that was probably a lot of that going on back then, because that was an actual part of their conversation. We do our trade here, we do our trade there, and it was like they were trading. But this paper, it, you know, this is why houses are going for just astronomical amounts. You know, they come and give you more than they're asking, and I think that's cooled off quite a bit. But it's all paper. There's nothing to it. It's all Hollywood fluff. And you go back and find the cause of this, you'll find the international bankers pulling all the chains, and it's in a worldwide. You go in Europe, the farmers just rebelling. All over the world, they're joining in. You know, and you go back to the income tax. They gave the church tax deduction or tax immunity, whatever, and the farmer. And the reason they did that is because those would have been the two first to resist the thing. But now they feel special. Oh, we got, you know, we don't have to pay that tax, but you do, which caused division also. But that's what's going on. This is all about money. And it's the love of money that's the problem. It isn't the money. We need a stable dollar. You know, in the 60s, in my lifetime, the silver was taken out for the backing of the dollar. I actually had silver certificates when I was a little kid. And you go down to the bank and get the silver. Well, they had a date that was the last time you could go get it. And it's been downhill ever since. But it's the idolatry of our people that believe in this damnable system. That has not anything that they do. They're destroying the West. You get that Range magazine. They're making rules and stuff you can't live with. But it's time that people said no. And if you study what's going on in Europe with all these farmers, I mean, they're tying up the town, spreading the shit on the ton of buildings and dumping tires and blocking the streets of France. And it's in Australia. It's going, and you know, everybody joining in. It's just an epidemic. I don't know where it's going to go because there's nothing really good comes out of a rebellion like that, but sometimes it's got to happen.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, you look at this economy, and I don't know how people can afford houses anymore. I mean, it's I was talking with people yesterday, and a husband and wife that are making good money, combined income of between $160,000 and $175,000 a year, and on the lowest, and they can't afford the lowest price house on the market in Fort Collins. And you think, you know, $160,000, $175,000 a year, that's good money. I mean, and that really is good money for nowadays. But the houses have gotten so astronomical, and these interest rates have changed it so much. I mean, it used to be that if you were getting a $500,000 house, $400,000 or $500,000 house, you know, your payments would be, you know, $3,000 a month. But with these interest rates, it's up to, you know, $6,000 a month. It's changed it that much. And, you know, people are spreading, instead of a 30-year mortgage, they're going out to a 40-year mortgage. And it's like, how do they even afford to live? And they're selling houses like crazy. I mean, they said that it slowed down a little bit, but we're still in a housing boom around here. I mean, there's houses that are selling overnight. And I just don't know, you know, how these people are affording it, or if they are affording it, or are we getting set up for another financial crash or correction? I don't know, but it's amazing.
But that's how they operate. They run something up, you know, the price of corn, I don't know when it was $8 quite a few years ago.
Yep.
And these guys expanded, and all of a sudden they jerked the price on it, and then some of them went bankrupt over it. And this is what's happening with this housing market, too. They were just inflating it, you know, and they're giving money, you know, about 2 years ago, you get it just about for zero interest. Well, now everything has changed. And, you know, and God condemns interest. And that's what the churches don't. They just expect interest. You know, oh, I got to get interest on that. When that's destroying the country, There's a book, I never read it, Interest is a Story of Countries, Nations. I never read it. I'd seen the title, but I know for a fact it is. When you can make money at interest and usury and not do nothing, then you're, well, that's what the kids today won't work, but who taught them not to work? You know, everybody thinks in terms of money. Oh, I can get this, I can get that. I can sell this. You know, I know people that sold farms up north for big money and kept none of it with capital gains and everything. You know, you think you're getting a lot of money, but when that capital gains comes along, you're gone.
Yep. Well, I think that a lot of people these days don't remember, the 80s or the early 80s. We were the younger people, but interest rates in the 80s were 16-17%. That's what, you know, you paid on loans and stuff back then. That was with a fair credit rating. I mean, it was destructive, and it utterly destroyed. I mean, you take young people trying to start out, which we were at that time, and trying to get going. It was just untenable. You couldn't find a way to do that, and it was. But boy, there were some segments that were just making just tremendous amounts of money off interest because they had their quote unquote money working. You know, it was like that money doesn't work. Money, you know, rapes people and hurts people and destroys people. It's not an entity. It's a medium of trade. We have lost sight of a lot of those kind of things. It's just something that is supposed to be part of God's just system of weight and measures, you know, and he condemns that when it's unjust. And the minute you add interest onto that, it has become unjust. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. It's an unjust principle then, because the trade is weighted on the side of one person. What you have that you're selling may be valuable, but since it's not money, you can't get interest on it, you know, so you can't even the scales way.
Well, one thing about the money, in that book you gave me, Jason, that the first guy that issues it makes money, and the last guy gets stuck holding the bag, and that's just how it works. It just loses its value every time it moves. And but the first guy, what he gave an example of there, he's buying gold. It gets like $3,500 an ounce or something like that. But the Federal Reserve is buying it for $2 because it cost them, I forget, 20 cents to print a dollar bill or $100 bill or whatever like that. And they're actually getting it for $4. But they're just creating this market, and people start grabbing it. They just keep sucking it in, you know. The next guy to take Biden's this place, I would think possibly is the Pope or something like that, because I don't think Kamala Harris is the next step to anything. So, but yeah, the people are going to be grasping for the wrong god for sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt that when you look at the fact that if they do put him out, what's behind that? I mean, who's coming next? Exactly? There's certainly that issue, because she's probably about as bad as he is as far as cognitive ability.
Yeah. They know exactly what they're doing.
Well, and one of the things that I did notice this morning, too, is that there was an article, and it says the EU bends its knees to farmers, drops key provisions in 2040 climate proposal. And I didn't realize how much stuff was in that climate control proposal for, I don't know what they're calling it, the 2040 goal. But those dropping those emissions and cutting off all the subsidies and for the fossil fuels and all that sort of thing really was going to put these farmers in a huge bind. They said that they wanted to mandate a 30% cut in agricultural production. And basically told people that they needed to eat less meat and eat less vegetables. And it's like, okay, what do they expect people to eat?
They don't.
You are the carbon emitter they want to get rid of.
It said farmer protests have broken out in many countries across Europe in recent weeks, with the industry expressing discontent over the EU's green policies. Some of the latest demonstrations have been in Germany, prompted by a cut to cut diesel subsidies. Brussels has faced calls from industry groups and some political parties to lay out the 2040 climate pathway that doesn't ignite further anger. The EU's plan is set to be presented on Tuesday and will recommend a 90% cut in total EU emissions by 2040 from 1990 levels, a suggestion in line with scientific advice. The update version of the plan, which still is subject to change, framed agriculture in a more positive light compared to earlier drafts. And, it's... you know, it's happening all over the place. But what you look at these people and you just got to think, what are they, nuts? And, you know, it's not that they're nuts. It's that they are enemies. And they, you know, it's just like what the Bible says. You know, they come to steal, kill, and destroy. And they're just not going to stop. I mean, they're warring. You start taking away people's food, you got to take away the people. It's, and we've talked about it for years and years about how they're, their, you know, agenda is to reduce the population, and how do they intend to do that? I don't know. You know, is it the vaccinations? Is it the cell phones? Is it the 5G? Is it through one of their viruses that they've cooked up in a lab? I mean, it's they continue to fight and war with God's people, and you know, they come to steal, kill, and destroy.
Amen. Yeah. And if you think they haven't done it before, I recommend the book. Pastor had it in his library. I found one more, but we don't carry it on the ministry, but it's called Execution by Hunger. And it points it out exactly what they've done. It says 7 million people in the breadbasket of Europe were deliberately starved to death at Stalin's command. The story's been suppressed for half a century, and now a survivor speaks out. And this guy's a teacher of Slavic languages, lives in California, and he experienced this. But it says, in 1929, in an effort to destroy the well-to-do peasant farmers, Joseph Stalin ordered the collectivization of all Ukrainian farms. And when you read through it, that's exactly what they did, because they weren't, I mean, they had a firearm here or there, but nothing like we have here. But that could change pretty quick. And that's what they did. They went in, they basically wiped out the people. Execution by hunger. And if you think it can't happen, I encourage you. You know, get that book, Execution by Hunger. Read it, and the similarities to today on a national and a international scale. That's what's going on in, like you guys have said, in Europe. And it's not just in one European country, but we've seen it in Germany, we've seen it in France, we've seen it Paris, England, all over, and. It is a serious commodity. Then when you look here in America, the American beef industry is experiencing the lowest numbers that it has ever experienced. And that's because you got more and more land that's being taken away for every reason you can imagine, from the spotted owl to developments to solar wind farms and on and on and on. And it is a perfect storm that is brewing. It really is.
Well, at one time in America, the majority of the herds of cattle were 50 cows and under that produced all the beef. You know, you think these big ones in Montana with all these, you know, 300-400 brood cows and stuff like that, but it ain't. The majority of the food was produced by small farms. And they all sent a few to market, which have all, you know, but they have forced them out of business. I guess they did. I don't know. I'm still alive, but I don't know how fruitful I am. But the whole thing, but our whole thing is a spiritual problem. You know, I think somebody said it's hard to enslave a Bible-reading people, about impossible. And people go listen to their preacher for an hour, and they think they're going to church and doing God's will. Well, they're not reading the Bible, because that brings you down to the bare bones. And this is what we don't have in America, because we got very, 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 I would say the vast majority of people are biblically ignorant, even though they go to church.
Well, yeah,
that's why this mentorship is so different. We identify who the players are, and then that becomes a different thing. And we mustn't be intimidated by numbers either. You know, Gideon, it got boiled down to 300, and he can do it with three if he has to. And he will fire battles if we obey him. But he also will destroy us. And this is actually what's happened to the world, that we have forgotten our God, the creator of heaven and earth. And this is all over. We've ignored him totally. And he don't like being ignored. He'll put up with it for a while, but he's going to clean house. You know, I was reading, I think it was on Zechariah the other night, about the Edomite, how his arrogance blinded his vision. You know, and that's the thing. You know, God hates pride. You go look in the mirror and find out if you're pride, you know, you're self-righteous or something, but God hates pride. You know, he says the very, very best that I do is a filthy rag, and that's what I'm worth. But he is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and we got to honor that, because we aren't really anything. But he, you know, where'd he go for his disciples? He went down to the docks. He didn't go to the universities. It's all common sense, people, and it's a real shortage of it in this country at this moment.
Well, and I agree, and I think a lot of times I was reading those articles on that EU bending their knees, and, you know, but the word that struck me in that was they're going to delay the new green rule in a bid to appease protesting farmers. So, you know, they're sort of afraid. They're definitely inconvenienced, but it's the same old track they always run. It's like, well, okay, we'll do that next year, you know, or whatever. And it's like, you guys need to, you know, that's why that constant vigilance the forefathers talked about, you know, because those workers of iniquity, they never give up. They constantly are seeking to re-implement their plans, and their playbook is fairly limited. And I always come back to the fact that, you know, our Bible says 223 times the word remember is used in the Bible. And that's not quite as many as fear not, which is 365 times. But when you consider the fact that God's people are, you know, lost for a lack of knowledge, the knowledge, the only, you know, when you have knowledge, you remember those things. Memory and knowledge go hand in hand. And when we don't have any memory, which is what remembers talking about, you know, their playbook is the same thing. But if you don't remember, if you don't pass it down, if you don't point it out, and it seems like sometimes you feel like, gee, I just told everybody about that, or Lord, I just talked about it, you know, all right. But it's amazing to me how that you know, spell of forgetfulness is cast out there. You know, people don't remember those things that went on. You know, they don't remember high interest. They don't remember battles and wars that were fought for nothing. And, you know, they don't remember that when you forget God, he forgets you. And it's all there in that book. If you just read the book, like, you know, it'll refresh your memory. But it sometimes leaves a person just shaking their head.
Everybody could quote that Hosea, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and keep on reading. And it says, because they reject knowledge. You know, I remember going to the steeple house I was raised in, and I had a tape on, explained the 501c3 church, and I played it to them, and they walked out on me. They wanted no part of it. and they went on about their merry business. So, you know, they rejected it. And to the point, I'm almost shut my mouth to the point, I need to start talking again. And be a little abrasive, because it, you know, we have the truth, and if they hated Jesus, they're going to hate me. So that's all in there, and don't, you got to expect to be hated. Like Pastor Peter says, you get used to it after a while. but it ain't fun at first.
No, who says that it's got to be fun? It's
well, and I think that when we look at this stuff going on over there in Europe right now with these farms, don't kid yourself, that's coming here, and it probably is already here in a different way and at a different level. But the point is they, you know, they're going to try it out over there because you know, they're a little tamer, but maybe not. I mean, it gives me great hope to see the response. And as far as countries that are currently involved in that, you know, Germany, France, Spain, Italy, and now Ireland just started in a couple days ago. So there's a whole bunch of people that are saying, hey, wait a minute. You know, so, yeah. I mean, I watched one video clip from over there, and they had the rippers over there ripping up the roads, you know, on their tractors. And it's like, they're putting the dung where it belongs, so to speak.
Well, when the Saxon begins the hate, you got a problem. You know, we're based on a truth, even though these people don't know exactly who they are, but they just have had enough. And when they're ticked off, they're ticked off, and they don't back up. And they have a problem, and they're a minority. They're pulling, you know, driving this whole bus and causing all these troubles and stuff like that. But when the Saxon begins to hate, and most of the people you're talking about are Saxon people, you know, Spain and Portugal have joined in, and I mean, it's just growing by the day. And, they're tying things up. And they should be probably planting a crop here pretty quick, you know, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, and we do see it here, you know. Latest report from the USDA, nationwide beef cattle inventory, lowest level since the 70s, down from a year ago, and the total U.S. cattle and calf inventory, lowest level since 1951. And it's just, you're seeing it all over. You got here's a quote from a rancher. He says, it's a bad situation for America's cattle farmers in America. Because we're producing billions of pounds less beef than we were just a year ago. We're not investing in America's beef and cattle farmers. Biden policies are hurting America's cattlemen, such as myself. And that's from a black cattleman. How about that? That's John Boyd Jr., president of the National Black Farmers Association. He's a rancher and farmer in Virginia. But he puts it out like it is. You know, that's the times that we're in. One of us try to say it, and it's no big deal, but it's coming out all over. Tim, I like how you said, I think you said it, that as we see all these things happening in Europe, they're headed this way. It's almost like it's practice there, and then it's headed this way. We saw that with the Muslim invasion, right? How many times did we talk about that for years, how Europe has been all but destroyed, and that hasn't stopped the Muslim invasion over there. And so what have we got here? Well, we don't have a Muslim invasion, but we sure have an invasion from the southern border, and it is nothing short of that. Same thing, just different players. And, yeah, to what extent? Well, like you said, because they're a little tamer. You know, the French there, those who have always, you know, they've always been real good at hosting invasions, but beyond that, who knows? But they're waking up. They are. Like you said, the farmers and the people. They've had 40% taxes. They've had fuel four times the price of ours, and food like that as well. And it continues, and they're, you know, just seeing that.
I think Canada's taxed at 80%.
But the farmers there could not pay their bills and buy food to feed their family. But again, when you see these farms, they're bigger and bigger, and it's all bigger, newer tractors, and you know, instead of the ranch or the farm, you know, being built by the tractor, it's the ranch and the farm that have to pay for the tractor and the equipment and the inputs. And the quantity goes up and up, and the quality goes down and down.
I read a story last night in the Range magazine. This guy raised corn, and he didn't know nothing. He liked that, but his father-in-law bought these two places in Texas that had circular irrigation on them. He wanted to raise corn, so he dropped dead right after, you know, he retired or whatever. And he, to honor him, he raised corn on this field, and he called all the experts and stuff. He just had a beautiful crop, and he had awards. The TV, the press came, the President of the Farm Bureau, and all the people came and gave him this big plaque. But he said, I didn't have the heart to tell him I lost $9 an acre on everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, and I do think that we're seeing in this country, I think the other thing is that we talk about their farm reports and everything from the government, and I think that what we're seeing in this country is a reawakening of the small business and the smaller business model. I think there's a lot of people going back to that. And here's the deal. They don't have any statistics on those people. It's kind of like homeschool. You know, they have numbers for homeschoolers who file and who print, who do all their, jump through all the little hoops that they put out there. They've got stats on them, but there's a huge number. They estimate it could be up to 100% over and above that of people who aren't participating in their statistics keeping. And these governments and everything, they love this data farming and this, they want to know everything about everybody and what you raise and what kind of garden you grow. And, but we've got a whole segment of population in this country and probably in other countries as well that are saying, no, we'll just do it ourselves. I mean, I'm seeing people around here who are, you know, they've got little what we call hobby farms or something. They've got 12 or 14 head out there that they're raising and selling, you know, from farm to table and doing that kind of stuff. So the numbers don't always give us a reason to be concerned or to fear, but it gives them a reason to worry about that, because it's like, well, they're not registering, they're not participating, so we don't know what the numbers are. We don't know. And that's all about control, you know. I mean, they want to control everything, and they think that, and they think somehow that they have a right to control something, you know. And it's like, no. And I mean, there's a big move on across our country where people are beginning to realize that, hey, you guys work for us, you know. And I think that we're seeing through social media and through a lot of other things that there's an awakening going on here that is very interesting. And I mean, it's not a done deal yet, and it's a continuing thing, but it, I think it's encouraging to some degree. I mean, people are, because of the stigma and because of the attacks on them, they're beginning to realize that, we need to make some changes now, you know, because, this is inevitable. This is coming this way. So, and you know, it gives me some hope. I mean, as far as to see those things going on, and by far and large, a lot of those people that are doing that are returning to a Christian ethic. They're beginning to remember and go back to their roots to some degree, and they're looking out there. They're casting around and looking for why, how, and where it comes from, and it's encouraging at any rate to see some of these things go on.
Well, it's like the prophet. He thought he was the only one, and he found out there was 3,000 people that didn't bow their name to Baal. So we don't know how big this is, but it is out there. These farm markets are just flourishing. They can't keep enough, you know, because people are changing, and they're more interested in what's in their food and what they're eating, and people are becoming aware of the mess that we're in. But there will be a lot of casualties, but there will be survivors. He said it's a remnant. That's enough not to do the whole room. So it is a remnant. We don't forget that.
I agree.
Yeah. you know, too, and I've seen statistics when COVID was over. I've seen statistics. I think it was like 250,000 kids disappeared out of the public school system. I don't know if that was the exact number, but it was a large number. They just disappeared. They didn't know where they went. You know, they quit reporting what the deal was. So.
Yeah, the public school system all over has just had massively decreasing numbers. We see those reports all over. Even here in little old Laramie, they're talking about closing an elementary school in town. And it is a mass exodus, but that's not the agenda that the media wants to promote, so they don't report on that. But like you said, it's the same concept. It's happening, right? It's happening. There's more people gardening, more people raising, even if it's just one or two, beef steers, chickens, whatever it is. More and more and more people are doing it, and it's a good thing. They're waking up.
Well, all things work together for good for those that believe, so we'll find out who believes.
That's right. The goats go one way, the sheep go the other, and I'm sure the line of goats, like you said, it's a remnant. The line of the goats is going to be pretty long, so there's a lot of people there who I kind of looked at that whole thing with that over the COVID vaccine thing. It was like, really? So you have an unproven experimental vaccine, and they're going to give it to everybody, and they're going to try and shove it down your throat or up your nose one way or the other. And, it's like, So boy, if God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. You know, I mean, it's like, okay, there you go.
And I just got an email there's
people that love this system. It must have been 2000, 4 years ago already, but I was going up north, and sometimes I got customers along the lake, so I go up along the lake up there into Traverse City, and it was Biden the signs 10-1 up there where the people had money. And see, this system's been really good to those people, and they don't want it to change. But they don't remember how many casualties, but these are all people with money and all that, but they're all Biden fans because the system's been really good to them. So they don't want to bite their hand that feeds them. But, yeah, and, you know, Traverse City is a very liberal place, and, I mean, that whole town was Biden. It's just amazing. But that's the division. So there could be that many supporters of the idiot.
Yeah, I agree. I did have Will. He emailed in and he said, "What's that book that Paul's talking about?" That book is entitled "Everything They Ever Told Me Was a Lie" by Pat Shannon, and book that we carry it. Richard, do you know how much that book is off the top of your head?
I think it was $30. Okay. Right off, I'll grab one.
But, yeah, fantastic book. Paul, why don't you tell them a little bit about that book? It's something that we do carry here. Pat Shannon,
they never been to the moon. The planes that flew into the towers were probably nobody even on them. The plane that they said it was wouldn't even fit in. It was as much as it was. It's just everything is a lie. The financial system, it's just amazing the power they have, you know, and... before they threw that plane into the thing, they flew one from America to Australia unmanned and landed, you know, safely. So this is all stuff that's real possible. We thought it was, you know, the first fax machine was over 100 years ago in New York. That's all, you know, what did we get it, 20 years ago or 30, whatever. But the first one was that long ago. And what the knowledge they have, seeing that, and I know Alan Belt up there, some guy in Iowa, it's radioactive. They couldn't go through if they had to have 2 foot of lead on that thing to get through that belt and live through it. And then there ain't no way they could get back. Everything they did is a lie. It's just amazing, you know. But God sits in the heavens and laughs. That's the comfort I have.
Amen. I agree. And let's see here. Yeah, and Derek wrote in, and he says, just like adding to Tim's comments is, You know, Obadiah says, Esau, Edom will be a stubble. And that scripture is Obadiah 1:18, and it says, then the house of Jacob will be a fire and the house of Joseph a flame, but the house of Esau will be like stubble, and they will set them on fire and consume them, so that the Lord there will be no survivor of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken. And that's something that's a scripture that we should elaborate on sometime when we got more time. But it's if you don't know who Jacob and Esau is, and you don't know who the modern day Jacob and Esau is, it's something that you wouldn't understand. But I mean, that's a promise that is theirs for us, and Jacob will wake up.
I remember up in Wisconsin. Richard Hoskins was up there, and at work cycles, peace cycles, and he was set up there one day. He said, "Well, this should have happened 15 years ago. Well, it's only been years since then. This has been going on, going downhill." Because the war cycles, peace cycles, I read it. It's pretty accurate as to how the thing went. The wars were a big tool of the enemy, and but right, how long has it been since we've been in Wisconsin? 20 years or more, and. But that's what he said, and this should have happened 15 years ago. That's what he said up there then, and it's still going. But it is on self-destruct. We can just sit back and watch it happen. There ain't a guy on this phone that doesn't want his neighbor to do well. We don't covet what he has, and we would like him to wake up and stuff. But that's also a personal choice of whether you want to. If you want to know the truth. Just like when I figured out that the steeple house I was raised in was, I was physically sick for 3 days. Everything I believed went down the toilet. These people didn't care about the Bible, didn't care about truth. And I tell you, it's really hard to come out of your religion, but it's a big choice that you have to do. And I can see why, because I lived it, but... No, when you face the truth, hey, these people just don't care. I mean, that's kind of devastating. They don't care about their own children.
Yes.
Yes, and it's one of those deals you can't force people to understand or to realize or to comprehend a lot of those kind of things. It's just like understanding that what Jason was talking about. If you don't understand that... you can't really understand your Bible until you know who it was written to and why, why that matters. And when you hear someone say, well, I don't know what difference that makes, and we've all heard that, and it's like, well, until you can figure out that it matters who you were, who it's written to by, then it's like, well, God's going to have to deal with you some more until you're ready to see why it matters, because it does. It opens whole new pathways to understanding in the Bible.
I've actually said that, Tim. I've actually said, what difference does it make? And then I also said that after, well, what about the other people? Eh? So that proves you're an Israelite, because we care about the other people.
Yeah. Well, and I said it too. I can remember, 40 years ago going, yeah, well, what difference does that make, really? And yeah, a couple of years later, I was going, oh, that's the difference it makes. Okay. So, we all grow. I mean, where some of these folks are today, by the grace of God, we were there once too. So it's not a new concept,
Well, and there's a new outrage that's going on that's interesting, and I read this article, and it says the title of it is "Outrage as Biden Administration Admits Surveilling Americans' Private Financial Transactions for Words Like MAGA, Trump, Kamala, and Wake of January 6 Riots," with people buying Bibles on top of their watch list. The Biden administration had admitted to surveilling the private financial transactions of Americans for words including MAGA, Trump, Kamala, following the January 6 riots. Federal investigators in the Treasury Financial Crimes Enforcement Network, FinCEN, instructed banks to comb through records to look for extremists. A letter from the Treasury Department seen by Fox News was sent to Senator Tim Scott on Friday, which states exchange of events began shortly after January 6 under the prior administration. It said it included terms such as Antifa, MAGA, Trump, Biden, Kamala, Schumer, and Pelosi. The federal government was specifically watching Trump supporters and Americans who frequent outdoor stores such as Cabela's, Dick's Sporting Goods, Bass Pro Shops, and those who purchased religious texts such as Bibles.
Well, I was thinking, look how God deals with us. He gives us a free will. Now, we have to choose. He says, choose life or choose death. That's our choice, you know, and he gives us a free will. And he's there, his word is there, and he says, seek and you shall find. Now, that's our responsibility, to choose life or choose death. And that's how it is. You have a free will to choose what you want. You know, by your own words, you'll be condemned. I don't believe this, I don't believe that. Well, don't matter what you believe, it's what God says. I remember sitting through that meetings I usually said take all night. It should have took 30 minutes. Well, everybody had an opinion, you know. And finally I said to him, I said, what matters what you think? What's the Bible say?
Right.
I don't really think they want me back, but I fixed it. I left before they got after me. What? One guy come in, he got put up for an elder, you know, and he said, well, I don't want to be an elder because I want to go to Florida for winter. I said to him, well, where's your priority? Well, yeah, so that is an issue. And he never talked to me again. No, you know what? Questions work better than arguments.
Yeah, they do.
You know?
Yep.
It does. You ask a question. You know? That puts a burden of proof on them. They've got to come up with the answer instead of you.
Yes. Tim, did
it
we lose
it? It is kind of interesting. Sometimes people ask you a question, and then when you answer the question, they argue with you. And it's like, well, then why did you ask? You know, I mean, I presented you the proof for what you were asking for. And they're like, well, one of the guys said one time, I can't buy that. And I was like, well, that's the thing. God says, buy for me. So, you know, there you go.
That's the problem. Yeah. Yep.
Just like that lady with a $3 bill in the career, you know, she was ticked at me, let me tell you. And all they said, it's wrong. And that was the end of it, my conversation. And a few weeks later, she came around and very friendly. So, because she knew what's wrong. You know, they just want to live their lie. But once you expose their lie, that's why you're hated. You know, when you're living sinful and you know what it is, that's your problem, not God's.
Yes. Well, we are just about out of time. We got a couple minutes left. Do you gentlemen have any closing thoughts that you'd like to close out with this morning?
I like what you said. It's a choice.
Right.
Choose God. Choose God. Choose His way.
Yeah, His way is pretty foreign in this country.
And I think that as the serpent is getting closer to being done away with, and the satanic ways are being closer to be done away with, you can expect more violence and more epic, over-the-top overreach and those sort of things. And I think that we should take heart in the fact that we're seeing those acts of desperation go on. I mean, so, you know, it's winding down. Don't know the time frame, but we can see the storm on the horizon.
Amen. Well, folks, I want to thank you for joining us this morning, and hope you join us for church tomorrow by going to scriptures4america.org, and we're going to go out with this.
In the story of Gideon, the Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord. God punished Israel by enslaving them to the Midianites, who oppressed them.
You are the last party in the conference.
Settling on their land. That kind of thing only happened in the Bible, right? Wrong. In America's Perils, a repeat of the Gideon story, Pastor Peter J. Peters reveals what happened to Israel of old is happening to America today. America's Perils explains how America is being oppressed through economic hardship, excessive taxation, and unchecked immigration. More importantly, this pamphlet explains what America did to displease the Lord and the solution to America's current woes. Order America's Perils by sending $1 to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado 80535, or order online at scripturesforamerica.org.